Jerome Singleton joins us on Sports Byline, Paralympic athlete competing mainly in the category T44, which is single below the knee amputation sprint events. He's going to be running in the 100, 204 by 100 relay and looking to defend his title as the fastest amputee in the world at the London Paralympic Games, which will get underway at the end of the month. Jerome, this is nothing new for you going to the Paralympics, but tell me a little bit about what your thoughts are as you get ready to embark on a new Paralympics.
Well, I'm really looking forward to it. I guess my first Paralympic Games was in 2008 in Beijing. There I was a silver medalist in the 100 and a gold medalist in the 4x100-meter relay, where I anchored the team to a world record at that time. When I went in 2008, I didn't understand the magnitude of the Paralympic Games. I was just worrying about, am I going to fail out of school because I'm going to the University of Michigan 2 or 3 weeks late to do engineering. Now that I've finally graduated in 2010 and now a professional athlete, I feel that I will be ready for the London Games come up at the end of the month. I'm really excited about it and know that it's going to be something big, something that you can't miss.
Put it into perspective. You talked about the parameters of this and how overwhelming it was for you in Beijing. Tell everybody what it's like. Why is it like that?
Actually, in Beijing, it wasn't too bad for me. I didn't know the magnitude. I just got went out there, kind of like a dark horse. No one expected me to be successful. So I just got on the line and tried to be as fast as I could, run as fast as I could once the gun went off. So now I actually realize that it is important. It's the second biggest event in the world, and I get to have the opportunity to be in one of the premier races.
As I already mentioned, you're going to be competing in the dash events with the single below knee amputation in that category. Having said that, the prosthetics that you wear to be able to compete, tell me a little bit about them, Jerome.
Well, the prosthetic I wear is similar to the back of a kangaroo's leg. When I grew up, I ran on a walking limb. So when I try to tell you the difference between a walking limb and a running limb, it's like having a 5 to 10 pound ankle weight on your whole life. Or that boot you have when your foot's immobile, and that's what you have in your walking leg. Then you just took it off, and now you have a chance to really run.
I know you're going to be competing against Oscar Pistorius from South Africa. Everybody saw him in the Olympics and the devices that he had on his legs as well. How do they compare as far as looking and as far as using them?
Well, like I say, I'm a single-leg amputee, and he's a double-leg amputee. Whenever we race, since I have one sound leg to get out the blocks on, I'm able to generate more force in the beginning, and I can pull a distance. But when I get up tall and start running, since the weight of my leg are different, like a prosthetic limb may weigh about 4 pounds, where your sound side may weigh, let's say, 10 to 15 pounds. So my swings are different. So I'm basically compensating every step I take and trying to set my prosthetic up to where it can benefit me more in the beginning of the race or the end of the race. But now when it comes to a double-leg amputee, he can't get out the blocks as well because he can't generate that force. He has to spend the time trying to get up tall in order to have balance. But once he's up tall and running, he has that symmetry that it really works out well for him as you get further and further down the track.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I would assume that in a 100-meter dash, you have the advantage because you can get out of the blocks quicker. In maybe 200 meters, he may have the advantage. Am I correct in that observation?
I mean, there's advantages and disadvantages to everyone. Like, we all have our challenges to overcome. So I guess I can get the blocks better in the 100. So initially, you can see me pull away, and he starts coming late. We get further down. So it's always a close race in the 100. In the 200, our world records are pretty far apart. But what I do now is just train for speed. Like, I train to run fast, not for a specific event.
Scouting him, as I'm sure you did during the course of the Olympics in London, what did you see in those Olympics against that type of world-class competition that you may be able to use when you go up against him, Jerome?
Well, I didn't really scout him too much. I know that he's really training hard to be successful in whatever he does. So I make sure I train hard and take it seriously, because if someone sees our competition or sees Paralympics, they know this is elite-level competition, high-caliber competition. I even know that I was playing sports since I was young. I was one of the top 100 prospects in football coming out of South Carolina. And when I transferred over to disability sport, you sometimes think, I'm going to really just take on the world and succeed. When I tried out in 2006, I got cut from my team. I would have got cut from the Pan American team in 07 if people didn't step aside and let some of the new guys go. So just know that it's this high-caliber competition, and we got people like Oscar Pistorius as ambassadors for our sport. It makes you just have that will to win, that will to fight, because it's going to be very interesting.
You know, one of the things I thought about, Jerome, is that Oscar has already competed in the Olympics, and I'm just wondering whether the Paralympic athletes like yourself may be a little bit upset that he's already had his moment in the sun, and it's really not fair for him now to go down to another Olympics in a competition like this. Am I on base with that observation?
Look at it as in every sport, there are premier athletes. So you have to look at it as if people are going to watch Paralympics as a result of Oscar, they're going to see the rest of us. And when we go out there and shine and show everyone in the world what the Paralympics has to offer, and they see the challenges that we have to overcome and know that in their life they can overcome these same challenges, it's just going to be remarkable. Like, I'm thankful for it. You can come down and race them both. I know once you start pushing for exclusion, that's going to be an issue. You also have to push for inclusion. I race majority able-bodied races. I do that because they're a lot closer. But once I say I'm looking to race disability meets, I have to fly all around the world just to find a couple athletes out there who we can compete and have good races with.
Also, I'm wondering about what the Paralympics might do as far as perception for athletes and just generally in society, the people that have those type of physical challenges like you do and the other athletes in the Paralympics have.
I think it's going to be big for it. I know I didn't learn about Paralympics until 2006. That's when I went online trying to find out more about myself. Like, I quit playing sports because I was on a full ride academic scholarship at Morehouse. So I looked up walking and running limbs. And that's when I came across Marlon Shirley, who was a two-time Paralympic champion and only had one leg. No one only had one leg and could actually go to Paralympics.org and contact everybody and look at the profiles. I knew that even though you have a physical disability, you can still look for yourself to do better and be better. Because a lot of times when a person has a physical disability, society looks at them as if they can't, or they give them an excuse not to do better for themselves. And if you don't become active, there's like a 40% chance you're not going to go out there and work and have all these secondary issues.
The Paralympics come along every 4 years, but for Paralympic athletes, what other opportunities do they have to compete during the period of time, that four-year space of time between one Paralympic event and another?
So it's just like the Olympics. It's supposed to be parallel to the Olympics. So like next year, we're going to have a World Championships. And then in 2015, we'll have another World Championships and Pan American Games. We try to go alongside the Olympic movement and able-bodied sports. So we're going to still be competing. You'll see the Paralympic Games this year. First, for me to defend my title as the fastest amputee in the world, I say T-H-E, fastest amputee in the world. And then next year, you got to defend it again and again. Cause it's all about seeing how far you can take yourself.
You mentioned about Beijing being your first Paralympic events. And I'm just wondering, 4 years later now, you're obviously a different athlete after having had that experience and then being able to be more mature as an athlete as well. What do you see as the difference in you as an athlete now, Jerome, over that four-year span?
I think it's a big difference. At that time, I was a full-time student and a part-time athlete. I did just enough to be successful in athletics, because I knew that school and my mom were going to take me to where I need to be. Like, I did a triple major in mathematics, applied physics at Morehouse College, and industrial operations engineering at the University of Michigan. So now that I'm graduated and now I can actually take care of myself and have the chance to be sponsored by companies such as BP, Gillette, Nike, U.S. Paralympics, Osir, now I actually have a chance to pursue this dream and actually take my body to that next level. I don't have to worry about not going to sleep at night because I have to do a test. With me personally, I actually skipped practices while I was in school if I had a test or homework to do because it wasn't as important to me. Because, you know, your mind takes you where you need to be while your body can just go away from you anytime.
I want to point out to people, we're talking with Jerome Singleton. He's getting ready to participate in London. in the Paralympics over there, competing mainly in the dash events, the 100, 200, and the 4x100 relay. He is looking to defend his title of the fastest amputee in the world. And the one thing that cannot be said about you, Jerome, is that you're not the dumb athlete. I want to point this out to people. You already heard about him at Michigan, but with his triple major in mathematics, applied physics, and industrial engineering, Jerome worked on an engine to assist the Mars landing, an imaging system for the early detection of cataract, and also the effects of photoactivity on subterranean termites. I don't think I ought to be talking to you, Jerome. You're too smart for me.
No, sir. It's been a blessing. Like, I can't complain. I've had a lot of opportunity to do internships, interned at NASA, interned at the Institute of Advanced Studies in Park City. Utah. That's where Einstein studied at, about Brownian motion. Like, how does dirt move randomly in water? And I actually went to CERN, you know, about the Da Vinci Code. That physics lab, I did some research there, too. So, man, I just learned that academics can take you far, athletics can take you far, but if you've been given a gift, you have to really utilize that. God's given me a talent. I just want to broadcast it to the world.
I'm going to make an observation here, Jerome, and if I'm wrong, feel free to correct me, and that is that because of the fact that you are academically and mentally oriented, I think that's proven by the things you just said, that maybe that gives you an advantage because you don't look at it as purely an athletic endeavor. You break it down mentally. You look for the edges, the advantages, and you make it all work, the mind and the body together. Am I correct in that observation?
Yes, sir. It's all about efficiency. I actually like to have coaches and like to have my supporting staff. We all are aligned together, and they teach me each and every day about my body, about what I can do to become faster. It's always good because when it comes to disability sport, like amputees, as we get older in the sport, we have knee injuries. We have knee problems. We have hip problems because it probably just wasn't meant for a person missing a limb to be running. Maybe that was a hint. You're missing your legs. Maybe you shouldn't be running around. Just like when it comes to wheelchair athletes, they have a lot of rotator cuff surgeries because it wasn't meant for you to be putting all those miles on your arms. So you need to really take it seriously. And I say when the public watches, like, we're really putting on the line for y'all. If you really want to put on a great show, and I'm just thankful that you're giving us a chance to broadcast.
What do you find is the reaction when people find out not only what you do in athletics, but also what you've accomplished? I mean, we're talking about the fastest person, the fastest amputee in the world. What is the general public reaction when they hear something like that?
It all depends. I really like saying it because it's just fun to say. It just rolls off the tongue. I'm the fastest amputee in the world. But it's not really about me. I kind of look at everything I've been had an opportunity to accomplish as part of a story. I live like to create a story so when someone reads it, they know what's possible. I know when I was at Morehouse, we used to have a lot of individuals walk in who looked like us, who excelled in different aspects of life. So I didn't have to rewrite, you know. I didn't have to reinvent the wheel. So that's kind of what I try to do now, just present a story that someone can read and know is possible.
We only have 45 seconds left, but is there anything that you have not accomplished either mentally or academically or even athletically yet that's still on your bucket list?
Well, there's plenty of things on my bucket list. I know I want to probably write a book one day, start a nonprofit organization to help people with physical disabilities, provide additional limbs for them as they go through the early stages of life. I know when I was at the Shriners, we only had one leg at a time. So having that one leg at a time, you would break it. And you couldn't do anything anymore. I'm probably going to get me a PhD, get more involved in the Paralympic movement, a little bit of everything. I keep my options open. I never knew about Paralympics until 2006. Never know. 2013, I might see something else.
Jerome, I want to thank you for sharing your story. I want to wish you the best of luck in London at the Paralympics, and thank you. You're welcome here anytime on Sports Byline. Take care.
Appreciate it.
Jerome Singleton, Paralympic athlete. He'll be competing at the end of the month in London in the Paralympic Games. What a great story. We continue across the country and around the world on America's Sports Talk Show.